Good afternoon and welcome to Good News Updates with Living Compassion. I'm pleased to be joined this afternoon by Janice, who is here to speak with us about her experience of being a professional practitioner of awareness in this last year. Welcome, Janice.
Thanks, Jen. I'm so happy to be here.
Yeah, so glad you could join us. You know, spurred on by the year-long retreat theme, many of us have been approaching our lives, kind of taking it to a whole next level of practice and becoming professionals, where really everything that happens in our life becomes held in that context of awareness practice and gets to be a workup. And thank you for being in a session to talk about your experience of doing just that.
Well, you know, I have to refer to my favorite quote, I think, of all times, and it was Sherry said, "Be kinder to yourself than you think you should be." And I think that is what it is to be an awareness professional, awareness practitioner. It's really the kindness to this human being. In this case, this is Janice. But when I'm kind to myself, I really can be kind to everyone and everything. It really starts right here.
Oh, God, it's so true, Janice. And how lovely that kindness is for you, the foundation of practice. That quote, I also love that quote. It's one of the very first ones I heard when I started practicing. Be kinder to yourself than you think you should be. And that for you, that's really the foundation of being a professional awareness practitioner, is being kind to yourself. Because, of course, in that, you're cared for, and then you naturally care for everything around you.
Yes, that is my experience. And I think being a professional awareness practitioner is so much fun, because I'm a naturally curious person. So I feel like I'm kind of able to be a sleuth. And find all the ways that ego, which is really the thing that would make me unkind to myself or others, gets in the way.
Well, that's another fabulous point. So then kindness becomes your sort of beacon, if you will. And anytime kindness isn't available to you, oh, okay, that's all right. That's just your cue to get out your sleuth, your little, I just pictured you with your magnifying glass, right, your Sherlock Holmes.
Right.
Okay, so there must be ego at play here. There must be an ego process happening because, as you say, that's the only thing that would keep you from kindness. Kindness is. So it's only ego that would overlay and obscure that kindness. So, okay, it's so fun because now you're on a hunt. You get to ferret out where that unseen conditioning is.
Yeah, and I see us all doing this. You know, I just see anybody who's practicing is doing the same kind of sleuthing. And I had a vision this morning of I'm finding as insights drop in, that's another piece of the puzzle. But the puzzle of life is really just ever expanding. There isn't like an end game. I put this last piece in and it's done. It's just an expanding puzzle.
Yeah, it really is. It's never ending. And in fact, that's one of the things it feels like we get to as professional practitioners, is we realize, oh, there is no end game. So there's no thing that I have to accomplish. There's no goal that I'm getting to. There's no particular, you know, there's never going to be a stopping place. And at that point, it invites us to surrender to that glorious puzzle that there's always another piece. There's always something else to see. There's always another piece to fall into place, and that's really what those insights are.
Yes, and I feel I'm never doing it alone, because, you know, with recording and listening practice, I've learned to tune into the mentor, and I have all these opportunities. The monastery, excuse me, is reaching out all the time. Workshops and year-long, I'm losing my voice. So
yeah, go ahead. I'll reflect back. How about that? Well, you get to breathe for a minute. Yeah, because that's another great point. That the monastery practice is reaching out to all of us all the time in so many forms. You know, Michael's the one who's always pointing out how surrounded we are constantly by opportunities and practices. And that it's in reaching out for those, being willing to reach out for those, that we really get trained to be the professional awareness practitioner that we want to be. And I think you're right. The core of that training is having that mentoring relationship, because what happens there is that now it's not just available to me when I'm on that, you know, daily radio show or on open air every Tuesday night, or, you know, when we used to get to be together physically on retreat. But with that internal mentoring process, what starts to happen is it's with us all the time, which I think was a huge piece of the point of this theme of professional awareness practitioner, because what it's pointing at is practice is always with us. It's always who and what we are.
Always. And sometimes we feel like we might not do it for ourselves, but we could do it for another. And, you know, I'm just experiencing with right now, we have these 4 Sunday workshops where we are, it's a fundraiser for the folks in Cantalomba, but how much I'm getting out of it is amazing. And when I hear the process happening, I realize everybody is getting insights, and I realize, oh, we are all doing our part, putting these little pieces in this ever-expanding puzzle. It takes us all, and that's another part of not being alone.
Yes. Yes, exactly. Oh, yes. That each of us has these different pieces, right? We see different things. And through workshops, like the Sunday workshops that we're in right now for Cantalomba, you know, we get on those calls, and then we each go off and have our experience. And during the workshop that we have, we come back, we talk about those pieces. And isn't it so true, Janice, that every piece that anyone puts in the puzzle is a piece for me?
Yeah.
When they talk about it, they talk about their experience. Every single one of those pieces goes in my puzzle, too.
Yeah. Yes. I can see, you know, when somebody else is in a comparing process and they're discovering, like, oh, that leads to suffering. Ah, I know that feeling. I've seen that process. Or when I feel like, ego's telling me I need to be the good, right person or argue my position, I kind of can, I can just drop that. Oh, this is very freeing that I see that it's just all of us doing this process and we're learning from each other.
Yeah, we are learning from each other. And what's so good about it and what you describe is that it takes away that feeling of, oh, I got to make sure I'm the right person or I do the right things or that bad things don't happen to me or try to avoid the things I don't want or cling to the things I do want, any of that. Because with this context that we're talking about, then everything that happens in life, no matter what it is, becomes more of that process of seeing, of accepting, of embracing, of going back to that unconditional kindness. You know, so something happens that I don't want, or I'm told by the voices I made a mistake. All right, let me touch back into that. Can I find that kindness, that unconditional kindness in this situation? So all of it becomes an opportunity to train.
Every bit of it. And I saw how the schedule, and I make a schedule for myself, which I would never dream about 20 years ago. I have the structure and the benefit of the privileged environment, so I don't have to be a somebody. It isn't a social thing. It has just been absolutely enlightening for me.
Yeah, that is another big piece of it, isn't it? Both the freedom of a schedule, where we're often told it's the opposite, right? I don't want a schedule. I don't want to be told what to do. But actually, there's great freedom in it. And also the privilege environment, the huge privilege of not having to be a somebody. It's not personal. It's not about personality, which, again, is very freeing.
Yeah, it is. And I found just a couple of things that I just wanted to put in. I know we're at time here. Is that recently there was a recording and listening post, and it's the for people that are recording and listening, you'll know the right thing, I guess, to say, so people could go to that. It's just loaded with things about how to use recording and listening. And it was such an inspiring conversation between Scott and Anna. And it was, there's a plethora of things for folks to tap into there. That was really, really exciting for me to hear recently.
And you're talking about the recording and listening website, I think.
Yes.
Right? But there was just recordingandlistening.org.
Yeah, and a posting had just come out quite recently. So that, you know, we're just, we don't have to noodle it and figure it out. It's all questions are answered and examples are given.
Yes, and you know, it's so great, Janice, because the way those things get generated, you know, is that people ask the questions. You know, people call into open air or something comes up on a daily radio show. That as Sangha, we both bring the questions and that brings up the, quote, answers, if you will. That invites the exploration where recordings like you're talking about get made, or maybe Sherry writes a newsletter article or a musings article comes out. All of those things are generated from everybody practicing, asking questions, saying what they're seeing, you know, in the inquiry. And from that, all these different things that we then have as tools get generated.
Yes. And for anybody who would ever have some hesitation about the year-long retreat, I just say, don't listen to ego. Sign up.
Exactly. And, you know, it's Sherry was just saying this in one of the shows this week, I think, because we're in the last 6 weeks of the year-long retreat, which is extraordinary.
It is. So
we thought it would be fun to kind of look back and see how folks are doing with it. But it's pretty soon it's going to be time to sign up for the next one. So that's exactly right. Well, yeah, anyone who isn't already part of it, certainly consider it for 2022. Yeah. Well, Janice, thank you so much for being with us today to talk about it. It's been fun.
Thanks so much for having me.
All right. Gassho.
Gassho.
And Michael, we'll turn the show over to you.
Wonderful. Thank you, Jen, and thank you, Janice. Good afternoon, and welcome to Open Air with Sherry Huber. Good afternoon, Sherry.
Good afternoon, Michael.
I love that conversation.
It was great, wasn't it?
Just, yeah, it was.
Yeah.
One so treasure after another.
Yeah, and I love that last one that Janice brought up about the latest posting on recordingandlistening.org. I mean, you know, it's true. There's just so much support. So much Sangha supporting Sangha.
Yes, it's fabulous. Mm-hmm. It is fabulous.
And I think we're getting happier and happier.
And we're just happier and happier, yes. Yes. Yes, and all I need to do is bring my willingness and avail myself of it.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Seems to me anyway. I don't know. I understand projection is a big deal, but, you know, when I'm around Sangha, I think it's not just me. I think.
Yes. Great. And I have announcements here.
All right. What's going on?
Let's tie our chitenge for the Africa Project. The final workshop supporting Living Compassion Zambia is this Sunday, November 7th. These workshops are a fun, engaging way to support the extraordinary work of transformation in Cantalomba.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And if you're already meditating in the morning or wish to start, enjoy the extra support of meditating with Sangha with virtual meditation groups. The 30-minute conference call meditation sessions happen 7 days a week. For a complete schedule and for other practice opportunities, visit livingcompassion.org. And a few reminders for today's show. If you'd like to get in the queue to talk with Sherry, you can press *6 and then 1 to make Gassho. And a conversation on one topic, please, in about 5 minutes is fabulous.
It's the best.
It's the best. All right, Sherry, here we go.
All right. Thank you, Michael.
And you're welcome. First caller, you are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, Sherry. It's Kim Thal calling in. Hi, Michael.
Hello, Kim.
Hi.
What's going on?
Well, it's been kind of a rough week. Thank you so much for taking my call. Mm-hmm. I am dealing with a very sudden and violent death of my stepdad, and I'm here. When I called last week, he had had a very fatal accident with a gun, and he hadn't passed, so he had been on life support for 3 days, and he passed when he was taken off very quickly on Friday. And I went immediately down to my mom. It was a flight away, but a pretty fast flight. So, and my sister is here, and the three of us are here. And I just am running up against a lot of resistance, mostly, to everything. And
just
I have been,
one big giant no.
Oh, yeah, exactly. A big giant no, and a lot of also surprisingly kind of witnessing of everything, including my mother's ups and downs with it, because it's so shocking. They've been married for 46 years.
Oh, and, my goodness.
And she was the caretaker. Yeah, so he's been in my life for that long, but she was his primary caretaker because he has been disabled for the last 17 years. And so it's just been, you know, she's just, you know, in shock. And my sister and I are, you know, doing everything we can to just make it easier and filled with love as much as we can.
Mm-hmm. And so, Kim, what's the resistance? What's up with that?
The resistance is I don't want to be doing this. I don't want to be doing any of it. But I am. I mean, in quotes, doesn't want to be doing it, of course.
But let's just stop right there for a second.
Okay.
Why not?
Because I want to be back in my life, where my life, I mean, it's so egocentric. And that's what happens. Like, I say that, and then I get beaten up by...
by the very thing that said it.
No, I see. Yeah. I'm seeing it. I see it. It's just
I mean, we can see it, and it doesn't mean it goes away. It doesn't mean it's not in the stomach, and it's not in the So, but tell me a little bit about why it's so. Why being in your own life is so vital.
Because I just miss everything about my own home and my own job and, you know, my identity, I guess.
Yeah, because, you know, for most of us, and I don't know about you, you may just, you know, go around in a state of ecstasy about how your life is, but... for an awful lot of us, you know, when we're in our life, all we're hearing about is what's wrong with it. And then when we have to be away from it, not when we want to, right? So if I want to go somewhere, if I want to go on a trip, then I'm fine being away from my life, right? But and so I'm just curious about that.
Well, I mean, from this vantage, of course, from this side of the duality, my in quotes, real life is ideal. But I know that that's a illusion, right?
Because as soon as you get home, those same voices are going to be pointing out what's wrong with it, not to mention the fact that you were a complete booger during the time with your mother and sister, and what a selfish little twerp you are. And
I'm not doing that. You know, I'm doing the best I can to do everything for her on the outside, you know. And I am, you know, with sincerity, because it's a very horrible, hard situation. So
Yes, truly awful. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. And you love your mother.
Of course.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And so, yeah. So there's all that. So basically, the only thing that's going on here is that ego is trying to make you suffer as much as possible.
Mm.
Is that kind of what it comes down to?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because you are going to be there.
Yeah.
You want to be there in the sense that you want to be there for your mother. You want to help her. You want to, you know, I guess, do you like your sister?
I love her. Yes, absolutely.
Yeah. 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 And so to be there, you certainly wouldn't want her to be handling all of this on her own. So actually, everything in you wants to be doing this.
Yeah. And I kept on saying, that I was happy to be here when I got here at first. And it's just, you know, yes.
And then ego's been just you under the surface.
Everything. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh. And Kim, is it helpful to see so clearly what the problem is?
I don't. Yes, it is helpful. I guess I just want guidance to get. I see it, and then I want the next step. I guess just come back to presence. I mean, I know the answer, right? Or in quotes, I know the practice. And I think sometimes it's just like there's beautiful trees around here and it's warm right now. It's like 70, you know, it's beautiful and I'm with my beloved family. And I mean, we're in this house where this accident happened. And so that's a little bit traumatizing. We don't really have another place to go. So, you know, so there's that. And there's a lot of stuff to deal with, of course, I sort of want the next.
Well, let me
thing
let me
to do.
So yeah. Well, what you really want is for ego to go away.
Yes. 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 Yes.
Mhm. And you know that's really quite simple. And in fact, you actually know how to do it.
Mm-hmm.
You know what the answer is?
Oh, just be here. Just be present.
Well, no, that's different. Actually, yes, yes, yes. You're right. That is the bottom line right answer. But the process, just be here, is different from don't go there.
Yes. That's,
you know, when people start practicing, especially because ours is such an old, ancient, not us, but it's been going on forever. And what people have done forever is focus on the breath. Okay, that might have been great when there was nothing else going on, but in this modern society, that you know, the best of the best can make it last for about 5 seconds, right? And then you're just off and running again because the conditioning to turn attention to ego is just everywhere. Mm-hmm. It's not just you, right, living in a cave somewhere. Everything about modern society says, look at this, 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 and most of it's miserable.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah?
Mm-hmm.
So, true? Yeah? Yeah.
Yes.
No, I'm not just a jaundiced perspective here. So to realize that, that's, first of all, that's all that's going on, which is really helpful to see. Okay, you don't have any actual problems. The only thing going on is that ego is taking advantage of an awful situation to try to make you miserable. And the tools that you have are there to stop it. You just don't go with it. Every time it says something to you, you use that as a flag to come back to presence. Now, you know, my favorite is I choose unconditional love, but whatever your favorite is, okay, and you're there and you add to that, God, Kim, this is great. This is great. Thank God for your practice because look, you can really be here with an open heart. You can be with these people that you love. You're willing to help, to do everything you can. It's just wonderful, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then you'll go off again because that's what we're trained to do, right? And it'll come in with the,
right.
I hate this. You know, I want to be home. I want to be in my, really? Then you stop and check in. Did I just say that? Or did I just hear that? Right? And so with each one of these, you're really using it for yourself. What's being used against you, you are using for yourself.
Okay.
Now, will you be 100% successful? Of course you won't. But just stop and consider for a moment the difference in where you are now and where you might have been even a year ago.
Oh, yeah. It's huge. It's huge.
It's huge. You're using this as an awareness practice workshop.
Yes.
And when ego catches you, it's miserable, and you see that.
Mm-hmm.
You see that. You realize it, right? Mm-hmm. You're not saying, oh, God, yes, it's true. You're right. Yes, I hate all of these people. I just want to go home to my own house and you, and we'll sit on the couch.
Oh, yeah. Ooh. Uh-huh.
Yeah? So even though it's really hard to get to bring clarity to what's actually going on. Every no from ego can be a yes for you.
Yeah. Oh, that's so helpful. Thank you so much, Sherry. I'm grateful.
You are so welcome. You are so welcome. What? I don't know what I said. I think I combined welcome with what you were saying. I merged our verbs. Yes, and make some recordings that you have. Carry that recorder around. If people think, "What in the world are you doing?"
They do.
and you can be honest with them. You know, I have these voices in my head telling me a bunch of crap that I don't want to listen to. So I listen to stuff I want to listen to instead, like. I love all of you, and I'm glad to be here with you, and even though this is awful and I wish it hadn't happened, I'm so glad to be going through this life with family that I love so much and that I just feel so grateful to be with and like that.
Thank you.
And
yes.
They'll say, huh. But they'll see that is a better way.
Yeah. Well, and my mother, I've been taking naps, you know, with her, and we listen to open air together, and it's really comforting for her to listen to you too. So that's been really fun. So, you know,
Well, yeah, practice brings us back to center, and we don't even have to be practitioners for it to be the case. So that's wonderful.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Thank you. Well,
thank you, Sherry.
We'll be with you.
Thank you,
Kim.
So much.
Take care.
Thank you.
Thanks for joining us, Kim. And, very heartwarming conversation, Sherry, to be so supportive in a really challenging situation.
Yeah, and such a, it's a place we all know, right? There's the human being. They're doing the best that they can possibly do. Being present and, I mean, if not present in the way that we talk about it, being present physically in the situation, doing the best that they can do, and then under the surface, ego just and self-hate just torturing and torturing and torturing. It's just, it's something that we all know. It's happened to all of us, probably will again before we get out of here, and just to keep those tools handy and just a constant conversation of appreciation for the human being.
Yeah, it dropped in from, I think it was from tonight's good news about be kinder to yourself than you think you should be.
Yes. You know, we could even change that. Than you think is possible. Right? You think you've gotten to the outer edges of kindness that a person can offer to another person, because that's what it's like, right? It's not, I mean, there's another person in another body, but we experience ourselves that way. So who's giving the kindness and who's receiving the kindness? Feels like two people. So when we get out to the outer edges of there just isn't in, I don't, where's more kindness going to come from? Find some. It's there.
Right. Fabulous. Yeah. Fabulous. All right. We have another caller here, Sherry.
Good.
Next caller. You are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, it's Emily from Seattle.
Hi, Emily.
Hello, Emily. We are having a Pacific Northwest evening, aren't we?
Yeah. We lost we lost power for a while.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I wondered if you were in this rainstorm, too.
Well, not for that, although in 2 weeks I lost power twice, and I thought, okay, all right, well, here we go. But no, this storm wasn't that bad.
Yeah.
Or good, or however you want to think about it. Is it back on?
It's back on now, yes.
Oh, good. You know, Emily, I got to tell you, I kind of enjoy it. Now, I don't know if it happens, you know, once a week or so I might get over enjoying it, but it's such a thrill when it comes back on, right? I mean, we're just reduced to cave people there for a period of time. You know, I can't this, I can't that. I'm fumbling around in the dark. And then there's light. And there's water coming out of the taps, and you can flush the toilet, and it's just thrilling.
And we get to bake our dinner.
Yes, exactly.
All these things are lost, and then get to appreciate them again.
And then they're found. Yep.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah. Well, I'm just calling to connect and say hi.
Oh, lovely.
I've been talked out of calling in to open air for months, and it was time to get back.
Well, now, how did you do that?
You mean, how did that happen, or how did I get back?
No, I know. Yeah, I know how it happened. The fascinating part, once we're back, is, why did I fall for that, right? But we do when it's going on. We do, but yeah, I was curious. How did you did the once again the power came on or the veil dropped or the you know the whatever it
I
is?
Don't know. And I've been getting like the last month or so, I've been signing up for everything because and that's been a huge support to. Even the Twitter thing, which I never thought I would do, to get tweets, and so I think that's been a big support, and then I've been wanting to say how excited I am that you guys are up in Squim now, and
I know, I'm very excited my own self.
Like I read that, and it made me so happy. It was just like, it felt like a dream come true. It was like, yeah, very excited.
So the chances were not good that you were going to move close to us. So the next best thing is if we would just move close to you. And so we did. And it's funny, we've talked, Shwini and I have talked about this, and I guess other places too, but, you know, a big part of our Sangha is here in the Pacific Northwest. Actually far more than where we were. And it's great.
Oh.
And now the folks there and in the rest of the country, as soon as we can, you know, can come and visit this beautiful area. I got an email from a fellow who was a monk years and years ago, and he now lives on the East Coast, but he was originally from Seattle,
And he was very excited, but he didn't really understand SQIM because he was equating it with the rainfall from a little farther over than SQIM.
Mm-hmm.
So he assumed that we were basically leaving a drought and desert to come here and drown in rain. And, of course, that's not what SQIM is all about. So,
it's a little sunnier there. And it's beautiful. I love that area.
Yep,
that
me too.
That is my favorite spot.
Yeah, yep.
Nearby there. I know that area a little bit.
Mm-hmm. So you'll be coming to visit, which is very, very good.
While
we're chatting about these things, Emily, last week, had a COVID booster shot. And I tend to have a kind of a grisly reaction to those kinds of things. And I did again. And I was really sick, just really sick. You know, this feet of cold, starve a fever, or starve a cold, feet, whatever that was. Really hungry. I was really hungry, but there was just no way I could walk the 20 steps to the kitchen to fix anything to eat. I mean, I was really sick. And then, in just a moment, truly in a moment, it lifted. Like the curtain in a theater, it just lifted.
Huh.
And all of the symptoms went away. And so I was fantasizing that that's what happened with you, that you couldn't call into open air because the voices wouldn't allow you to, and then one day it just lifted, and you were in a different place, and it was fine for you to call in. And it was what you wanted to do.
Yeah, yeah.
And there was no resistance.
Something like that. It was like I had been, you know, during the show, I would listen, but I would want to be comfortable. I would just go and be on my bed and it's like I was looking for this kind of comfort, like at that time of day. I don't want to be nervous and scared. I just want to be comfortable. And then suddenly I felt today like I want a different kind of comfort. I want.
That's right. And I don't have to be nervous and scared.
Yeah. I mean, I'm a little nervous, but it feels more important to call and connect and say that I'm happy you're here.
And, you know, a while back, I can't remember what we were doing, but in that This Too Shall Pass, it was one of the exercises in the morning show. And that's such an important thing for us to get in practice. You know, the fact that I'm in this place right now doesn't mean that it's going to go on forever. It doesn't have to mean anything other than this is what's going on now. So it's like being at the bottom of an undulation. You know, okay, well, then let's just have that life experience. It's fine. This is what's going on now. It's going to pass.
Even if it's that long, like some months long.
because the thing is, you didn't call in, but you did listen.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So you're still practicing. It's just that what ego would want is to say, yeah, but it only counts if. And that's not true. The really important piece of that is that you got to have the experience that you're having. You had that experience passed, you're in another place. There you are. Nobody died.
Oh.
Nothing bad happened. You're fine. Everybody's fine. Right? And it sounds like I'm being funny, but I'm not. I'm absolutely sincere about approaching everything that way. It was, in fact, the secret, one of the big secrets for me with depression. that as long as I was in that place that so many people get into, oh, God, no, 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 I don't want to be depressed. Oh, God, I'm getting depressed. I don't want to be depressed. I don't want to be depressed. It would happen. And getting to the place of saying, okay, well, I'm depressed. I've done it before. Mm-hmm. I know how to do this. This is what's going on. And the depressions were way shorter and way less hard, and eventually, of course, on their way to disappearing completely, because there's no resistance to it. When we don't resist things, they tend to go away very, very quickly.
Yeah, yeah. Well, when you're talking about it, I'm getting a sense of that. It's so much more accepting than the way I was doing it.
Yeah, it's kind to the person. And yet, when you're lying in bed, lying on the bed listening to the program, that was what you were able to do then. That's fine.
So I wasn't doing anything wrong.
No. The good news is you can't.
Yeah.
All right. Well, you take care of yourself.
Oh, thank you.
Glad to
thank
be in
you.
The neighborhood.
You too.
Neighbor.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, that's nice. Take care.
Yeah. Yeah, you
bye-bye.
Too, Emily. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Thanks for joining us, Emily. There's so many gems in that conversation, Sherry. Especially resistance there at the end. What I resist persists.
Yes.
I'm very familiar with that process.
Yes. Oh, yeah. It's karma's biggest tool.
Yes.
You know, well, this is what's going on with you. You need to do something about it. You need to fix it. This is proof there's something wrong with you. You need to change. You need to be different. And there we go. You know, all coming from a really good place. I want to be the right person. I want to be a good person. I want to do the right thing. And just headed down that path of that's never going to work, and all it's going to do is feel worse and worse and worse and worse.
Just let it in. Let it be there.
Say yes.
Just say yes. Fabulous. And Sherry, we're going to break here, and we're going to hear from our recording and listening program, and then we'll come back and talk with more callers.
Perfect. Thank you, Michael.
You're welcome.
Recording and listening is one of the most powerful tools for ending suffering. RL is based on a radical idea that rather than being lost in a conversation and conditioned mind, we can live in a conversation about what's true, what's real, what's arising in life in the moment. With recording and listening, we develop the powerful skill of directing the attention, enabling us to access the wisdom, love, and compassion that is our authentic nature. We have 2 RL classes to train in this amazing tool and experience its benefits. The first is a 5-week experiential class designed for newcomers and old-timers alike. We'll do exercises together in class to learn the techniques. Then between classes, we'll practice those techniques. The second, True Reflections, lasts 6 weeks and builds on the first class, assisting us to further cultivate a friendship of a lifetime that will support us through the undulations of a human existence. These courses are offered quarterly. Please check the website and look for announcements for upcoming start dates. Experience the joy of presence with the support of recording and listening.
Welcome back to Open Air. And Sherry, we have more callers here.
All right.
Next caller, you are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
Yes, this is Susan.
Hey, Susan.
Hello, Susan.
Hi. Oh, I'm listening.
Susan from Ventura.
Yes. You're amazing. Yes, Susan from Ventura that last called in because she had a cancer diagnosis. She's now in the middle of chemotherapy and God knows what else. So, I guess no answer, and I'm still here. And, you know, it's so funny. Well, it's not funny, but I don't know what to say about it. And my mind doesn't even know what to think about it. You know, it's like this is over ego's pay grade. It's so, I don't know, though you said something a couple months ago that seemed open air to somebody, there's some horrible thing going on in their life. And you said, well, this is the way I heard it. You know, you might notice that the same thought processes are taking place, whether it's horrible or not horrible. And the other day I realized I think I'm using the same tools that kind of may not apply. Am I making any sense? Is there something suspicious about how I'm handling this whole thing and I'm trying to do it differently?
Well, a couple of things about that I find really fascinating. One is, initially, ego is pretty quiet.
Yeah.
Right? Because this is a situation where it really doesn't have any experience with this.
Yeah.
And so,
exactly.
Yeah. So you're just left in that place of, which is kind of helpful, isn't it?
Yeah, that is it. It's like all of a sudden it's like, well, you've been my buddy for all these years now. Where the hell are you? Gone. You know, like it is not alone in a bad way, but the words grounded being kind of dropped in. Like, well, here I am, and it's pretty quiet, and I guess I'm listening more to that inner voice because, like, there's not a lot going on from ego side.
Mm-hmm.
It's so strange. It's I'm not used to it. I don't know what to think about all this. I kind
of don't. First of all, Susan,
okay.
Don't. Yeah, don't think about it. because I have a sneaky feeling that you know, at a certain point, ego is going to kick back in. When the shock wears off, because very often it's that time when we're in shock where we notice the absence of ego. But as soon as we kind of come back to, in quotes, ourself, then there's ego ready to pick things up where they were before, which is, okay, let me tell you what you're doing wrong about this, and let me tell you, okay, what the problem is and how you're it, and that sort of thing. So developing that relationship with the still small voice, the mentor, at this really kind of crucial time, we could say, seems really helpful.
Yeah, when you said that, I realized what it is. I have two more weeks of treatment. That's kind of a wait and see, and so it is kind of that, like, okay, now things are kind of gonna, maybe it's gonna be hard the next few weeks or months, maybe get back to normal, and I can, like, okay, I'll give you the example. There's tons. Getting a cancer diagnosis is like going like Alice down the rabbit hole. There's so many theories and ideas and alternatives. So one, I'm reading some book about, I don't know, having hope or something, and it's like you do this checklist, and it's like, do you have a sense of purpose in your life? I thought, I don't. Like, oh, my God, you know, like, if I don't come up with one really fast, it's going to be goodbye to me. You know what I mean? It's like, I do, some part of me thinks I should, but I don't, and so this is like, this is how you have hope when you have cancer. There's a right and wrong way to do cancer and treat yourself.
Yeah.
And I can feel it creeping in.
Yeah, but, and of course it's your fault because, you know, you're a type A personality, and so you've been driven all your life, and so now this is the result of it. And it's just, I mean, to me, it's just not helpful. Yeah, I don't know if you've ever heard me kid about this, but you know, I have this whole series of books that I should write to become rich and famous, and one of them, of course, is How to Control Everything. And then, you know, at the end, you break the news to people that if this isn't working, it's your fault, right? You're doing something wrong because this is the way to make it work, right?
Oh.
And the purpose thing, I mean, a few years ago, every title on the New York Times bestseller list was purpose, right? The purpose-driven life. And and of course, you know, for me, the thing I wish we'd consider is maybe living is enough of a purpose.
And so
there you are. You are really increasingly in touch with just being alive, with your heart, with the wisdom, love, and compassion that animates you. Right? You're communing with that still small voice. You're feeling the guidance of the presence of what a lot of folks call God, animating you and guiding you and being with you at this time. Well, you know, how many years did it take to get to this? I would say then your whole life, the purpose of your whole life has been to get to that clarity and that awareness.
Yeah, that touches me. I know, I just keep, I, in quotes, like, what do I do? What do I need to do? Am I doing enough? Should I do this? Should I do, you know, that just like torturous refrain. I'm like, I don't know, shut up. I don't know, so just
shut up. That's right. I don't know if you were on for our first conversation, but I'm going to say it's the same process. Every time that stuff starts, you know, if there's a purpose, okay, the Buddha said we each have one person to save in this life, right?
Yeah.
And, of course, in your case, that's you. In my case, that's me, right?
Yeah.
To save from suffering, to end the suffering for one human being, that's what we have a chance to do. Talk about a good purpose. And so every time that starts in, to just let it bring you back to, what I want to do right now is love Susan.
Mm-hmm.
I just want to wrap her up in so much unconditional love that she is so comforted and soothed, and she knows beyond a shadow of a doubt that she is adored. She is loved so unconditionally that there's nothing in the past, nothing in the future, and God knows certainly nothing now that could ever mar that. You know, make that your whole reality.
That would be new.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
And you know, for most people, I would say most people, whoever get around to considering something like that, it's the result of some tremendous loss. Because we don't do it as long as as ego is giving us a viable alternative. Okay, well, now you've got to get through that to-do list, and you need to make sure you've got those clients, and you need to bring in that money, and you need to take care of that and do that and go there and be that, and right? And then after that, you know, at some point, well, you're not going to be unconditionally loved. Come on, get a grip on yourself. But at least you won't be the piece of trash that you are now. At least you'll have redeemed yourself a little bit, and it never happens. And then we just get to the point of, okay, well, I don't know how much time I have, but I'm going to spend it in love.
Yeah. No, I hear you. It's just, I'm reassured that there's nothing to do in terms of something out there, you know.
That's right.
You know, because it's kind of out of control.
Yeah. I mean, truly, life taps us on the shoulder and says, there is no control. Now, what you going to do? And the thing that we have available to us is choosing unconditional love, living in gratitude and appreciation, adoring this human being whose life experience we get to share. Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, you've got people in your life to love. You've got places. You've got things. You've got that ocean.
Right. Yeah, I just thought that. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, yeah. And you know, the other thing that I've seen the change in me, whoever that is I kind of don't have the energy for the persona I used to carry around. I'm like, no. You know, and that's been a gift. Like, sorry, I don't know how I'm going to show up because something left.
Yes, different. The non-essential, right?
Yeah.
It just falls away. Thank God we just don't have the energy to drag it around anymore. Well, what are people going to, who cares? You know, where did that get you? I mean, it's not that while it's going on, it isn't a perfectly viable thing to be doing, whatever it is that we do for career or for, you know, whatever it is that we do while we're doing it, that's the workshop we're in. But then life circumstances can bring us to the place of, and that's not relevant any longer. So time to drop it. Time to just let it fall away.
Yeah, my fail-safe has been, because, you know, so many people are like, how are you feeling? How are you doing? And I'm like, inside me, I'm like, I don't know, compared to what? So now I just do I'm happy to see you. That's how I'm doing. I'm thrilled to
there you go.
Be here with you.
There you go.
I mean, it's like,
happy to be here.
I'm happy to be here. Like, really, how are you doing? Oh, I'm really happy to be here. Just the rest of it, I don't know. I have no frame of reference. Never been through this, so you got me.
That's right. I'm happy to see you. That's right.
Oh, my God.
And happy to be here takes on a whole new meaning.
Yeah, really, really. Happy to be here in the details of life, which I never was before. Like, oh, that plant needs watering. I think I'll water it. You know, it's
yeah. And you can feel that plant saying, thank you, Susan. Thank you for seeing me.
Oh, it's thank true. You. It's really true. Just like time is really slowed down. It's kind of, you know, amazing. So anyway, it's just comforting to talk to you. I'm just, I don't know, just comforting. I'm gonna be here. How's that?
That's right. There you go. There you go. Stay close, because. You know, and stay away from those people who are going to hint that there's anything that you have done wrong that has resulted in this, or there's something that you can do right that's going to change it. Right?
Yeah,
this
and
is
it's
where
that
you are,
that
and it's fine.
Yeah, yeah, that's so pervasive, and it makes me so tense when I get into that. I'm like, there's got to be another way to think.
Yeah.
And that's why I called. Okay, love you. Thank
All
you
right.
so much.
Talk to you soon. Okay, bye.
Thanks for joining us, Susan. Another powerful conversation, Sherry. A lot of lot of practice going on.
Yeah. Yeah, and back to, you know, Janice and Jen early on, you know, it's, I mean, how many people are experiencing what Susan is going through? Well, you know, compared to, you know, but in the big picture, well, not that many. But it could be any of us tomorrow.
Mm-hmm.
Some of us, it's already happened, been through it once. But if it happens again, it'll be a whole new ballgame.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah.
Yeah. Wow. And we have time for at least one more caller here, Sherry.
All right.
Just try that again here.
Hello.
Oh, there we go.
Pasha. Mm-hmm.
Oh, hi, yes. This is Pasha back in San Francisco.
Oh, very good. Lovely place to be.
Yes, and also excited about Sequim to explore.
Yes.
And just send a letter to a guest master that I'm available to help out in any shape and form with a new or old place.
Right.
And what I'm looking and that was kind of resonating with kind of staying with practice and just not being able to go for visiting monk, but at least maybe being available for something close to that. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And what I was looking at also in the past months is kind of hanging over my head a sense of some kind of ambition. It's not kind of fully talked about, but there is something that far away, flickering, that I need to do, I need to achieve, I need to get somewhere where it's not clear what. When I turn to and ask the voices, you know, what is it exactly I need to do to be whatever, right person, or have a sense of achievement, or then
fulfill your purpose.
Yes, yes, exactly. Like in the previous conversation. So what I had opportunity is this sense is with me since, as far as I can remember, at age 6, I'm standing in a, next to the river in the village of my grandparents. And I was growing up at in the city, and in the village, it's quiet, it's peaceful, it's dark, and I have this sensation that's inside my body that is good here. But over the river, far away, there's this flickering lights of the city, and I'm looking at them, and somehow I get into the belief that I need to be there. I need to go back to the city because there is something happening there, and there is nothing happening here. So.
Well, Pasha, that's really. Now, shall I just project wildly onto you?
Yes, please.
Okay. So there you are, a little kid, and you have this profound, could we call it a spiritual sense of that place and of life in that place?
Yes.
Quiet,
yes.
The stillness. Mm-hmm. And then there's the city and the feeling of you need to go there because something is happening there. And it's really true. I mean, your whole life has unfolded the way it has as a result of that. Right?
Yes.
So you went back to the city, you did what you did there, you know, you got your education, you came to this country, you know, there's all of that. And you have found an awareness practice that I suspect is reminiscent of that experience you had when you were very young.
Yes, exactly.
Mm-hmm. So I don't know if I've ever told you this story, but one of the things that that I knew, I knew from the time I was a little child, I knew that something extraordinary was going to happen to me in my life. I just knew it. I had no idea what it was, but I knew that it would be extraordinary. And that's just that. And so then I've gone along through my life, right? And when I encountered Buddhism, when I found awareness practice, I knew that that was it. I knew that this is the extraordinary thing that was going to happen to me. And I would project that onto you as well. That the ambition is of course ego trying to distract you from the realization that your the fulfillment of your life is happening to you right now. The extraordinary thing, right? The ambition is being fulfilled right now.
And I feel it right now. And it's right now as I'm on the phone, sitting in the park, looking at the birds. There is nothing happening. And I am in it right now, right here.
Yes. Yes.
Breathing, alive, with all, with everything.
Yes. Yeah.
And what also happened in the past month, I had a chance to visit my family and to visit the grave of my father, and actually came to exactly same spot on the river. And enjoy the beauty of the plants, grass, trees, the river, and realize that actually the lights were from a next village. There was not even a city.
It only looked like a city to the to somebody so little.
Yep. Yeah. And realize what was what a joke was it hanging, but it's kind of deepened the groove over the years to the degree that there is this hanging sensation that somewhere far away I have to go somewhere and do something big or whatever. So that that groove I'm wearing like a scar, but like you said, there is a sense of here and now is the biggest thing that is possible to happen. And I'm present and witness and participating in it.
Yeah. Yeah. So I can't remember who, but somebody recently alluded to that story of the sea tortoise, I guess it is, sea turtle, whatever it is, who comes up every 10,000 years or whatever it is, sticks its head up through the... you know, the water of the ocean, and its head goes through a golden ring. And that's the same amount of odds. The odds of that happening are like the odds of us having a human incarnation in which we all of the things come together that will allow us to awaken, to end suffering. And that has happened to us. What could be more extraordinary than that?
Yes. What are the chances of us being alive and still here? And I had experience of recently going through some like a traffic accident and surviving it, coming out of it, and seeing it. And realizing, okay, and this is not the first accident I've been through, and I'm still here alive. What are the chances of all of still being alive in life? And it's just miraculous if we look at everything that happened.
It's kind of what we were just talking about with the previous caller, that realization that we are all on borrowed time. And so how do we want to spend each moment of it? And of course, because we all are who we are, the answer is, well, I want to spend it in love.
Yes, and in awe and gratitude for this gift that was bestowed, it was given that I haven't deserved, like I haven't earned, and right. And here I am holding it right now.
Yes. Yeah.
So deep gesho.
Yeah, yeah. That's that fall down on our knees, kiss the ground, make a show, and still know it's never going to be enough. I can never say enough thank yous for this. They're just
yes.
hard enough. Yeah.
Yes.
All right.
And thank you for practice, and thank you for being here and making it available. And thank you, Pasha, for participating. It's
thank us all,
it's a miracle.
Huh?
Yes.
Thank us all.
Thank you
yep.
all.
Okay.
Yes.
All right. Thank you, Pasha. Good night. Gosho.
Good night.
Thanks for joining us, Pasha. Sounds like that about covers it, huh, Sherry? Thank
yeah,
you all.
Doesn't it? Thank us all. Thank us all. Here we
thank
are
all.
And just thanks to everything.
It, yes.
It really is just beyond. I mean, yeah, it's true, there are no words. We keep trying, but there just are no words. Yeah.
Yeah.
But I'll go with these. Thank you, Michael. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Sherry. Go happy.
All right. Go happy.